Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Stone Payton here with you. My co-host Lee Cantor, visibly absent. He's on walkabout, but I, your faithful servant, I am here to bring you the best and brightest from the Atlanta business community. This segment is going to be no exception. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast the workplace therapist and also professor at Emory Business School, Mr. Brandon Smith. How are you, man?
Stone, I'm great, but boy, that's a lot of pressure. You set the bar high. I'm a little nervous.
Well, we can always go in and in post, and we can make the intro where it says, "Hey, I got this guy named Brandon. Let's talk."
There, I feel better. I feel better already.
That's plan B. What an interesting moniker, the workplace therapist. Tell us a little bit about what you're out there doing for folks.
Yeah, so I really wear three hats in the world. So one of my hats is I teach at Emory University at the business school in all the areas of leadership and management communication for all the MBA programs. So the full-time MBAs, evening MBAs, both executive MBA programs and exec ed. So simply put, any class that has to do with playing nice in the sandbox, that's the stuff I teach. So everything from change management to culture to difficult conversations, just getting folks to work better together. So that's one hat. When I'm not doing that, I'm a practitioner. So I'm out in the world as an executive coach. So dealing with leaders of all different levels, all different kinds of organizations on these same issues. And then my third hat, which is the workplace therapist, is really about just trying to put out content of whatever kind, whether it's blogs, podcasts, to help make the world a little less dysfunctional. And so all three of my hats fall under one big overarching purpose and passion for me, and that is to eliminate all workplace dysfunction everywhere, forever.
Well, that's a noble objective, but it seems like those three things would really serve each other, right? You learn something
In
one arena and it really impacts the next, yeah?
Yeah, because so when I'm in the classroom, so like the full-time MBAs and evening MBAs are about the same stage in their career, about 28 years old. So it's this great kind of listening and kind of test market for me because I'm like, okay, so what's going on? What are y'all seeing? Where are your heads at? And then the execs move up the chain. And so you get different perspectives. And then so then when I'm working out in the world, I kind of know what's going, I get a sense. But then when I'm out coaching somebody, I can say, oh yeah, well, let's take this, put it in the classroom. So absolutely, they all swap around.
So I suspect Emory writes you a check every so often.
Every so often they do.
So you got that covered, but then you've got to go out, or someone has to go out and generate these relationships and generate opportunities to serve in the other two places, right? As a workplace therapist. And
yeah, so my workplace therapist handle. So, and by the way, I really am a workplace therapist. So I have a clinical therapy background as well as an MBA.
My goodness.
So it's my version of a Reese's peanut butter cup. It kind of somehow those two things work together. I'm not quite sure how.
So how does the whole sales and marketing thing work for a guy like you? You're so busy. And really, sometimes in this consulting world, it can get a little crowded. So how does the whole sales and marketing thing work?
Yeah, from that perspective, so much of it is referral. I mean, it's such a word of mouth kind of business. So I've been doing this in the Atlanta area for a good 12 years now on my own. In addition to, and then I'll eventually pick it up and doing some the teaching as well. So that's just kind of been a word of mouth, kind of that's built. And then all the stuff I put out on the Workplace Therapist, which is my blogs and podcasts, that's just free content I put out. But the way social media works is that ends up serving as marketing. So So in my heart of hearts, I'm not much of a business developer. I'm not very good with, you know, hey, Stone, you know somebody on LinkedIn. Will you please connect me and let's have coffee? Right. It's just not my thing. I like to put out content to help people. But I think while I'm not a very good business developer, I'm a better marketer. So I think that's how the thing works. I think. I don't really know. It works. That's, you know, I think that's why, but I'm not really sure.
Well, you must be incredibly organized, though. Do you have a discipline where you block out specific pieces of time? Look, I'm going to work on this today or this week or that. What is your plan for that?
I used to do that. Every Monday, I would blog every Monday morning. I've been blogging a lot less, but now I have days where I do podcasting and I kind of block out those times. Yeah, I do. And then when I'm traveling and I'm flying, then my plane time becomes a lot of my kind of strategy.
Oh, well, there you go. All right. So you've mentioned podcasting a couple of times. you're sharing other people's podcasts, or you have your own podcast?
I have my own.
Oh, well, let's talk about that. So are you, you're interviewing other people, or are you mostly sharing your thoughts?
A little bit of both. I was interviewing, I only started it since this year. So this sucker's like fresh out of the oven.
So you know, interviewing other people, anybody, a monkey could do that, right? We all know that.
In some ways, it's a little easier. It really is.
Right.
Because there's been more of a request to say, well, hey, will you put out your own content? Will you talk about kind of what your views are in the world? Because I've got a little bit of an odd perspective, I guess.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. We'll see. We're about to find out.
Right. All right. So, but you're interviewing other people. So you're doing both.
I've been primarily interviewing. Now I'm going to switch the hat and start adding a little more of just me and see how that works.
Well, there you go. All right. So is there a website where people can go
if they just go to the Workplace Therapist? So Google the Workplace Therapist. I'm the only one. So if you Google Workplace Therapist, that's it. It's me. And so you'll find my site. And then in that site, there's a link to my podcast, The Brandon Smith Show.
Okay, so obviously I have a bias and I have my own opinions, but I want to know from your perspective, why did you choose this medium as one of the platforms to share content? What drew you to podcasting?
I think that the number one reason is the thing I hear with every audience I talk to. I mean, audience, I'm talking about the classrooms, I'm talking about coaching. The number one most precious resource for people is time. And so what people are, why they're being more drawn to venues like this and channels like this is because they want to be able to listen to stuff while they're in motion. So they want podcasts to be able to listen to while they're commuting in or while they're working out or something in the background while they're doing other things. And that's a different kind of medium than say my blog. So that's kind of why.
What a great answer, because we've been asked here at the Business Radio X Network, particularly Lee Cantor and myself, when we're talking to folks on the business side of what we do, where they might underwrite a show, and they'll ask, well, do you do video? And we say no, and we go into this long, involved conversation, but I think I learned something just now. This is great for people in motion, people who want to learn while they're in motion, because that takes reading and watching a video almost off the table.
Absolutely. And think about, and there's a, this is this good and bad about this town over the last couple of years. The bad is, I'll start with that. The traffic has gotten to all-time worst. I've never seen it this bad. Awful. It is so incredibly horrible. The good, the opportunity is that's opportunity to be learning and listening to something of quality while you're sitting on 400 or 285 or 85 or whatever the road happens to be that you happen to be sitting on. It's an opportunity to be able to hear and listen things that you couldn't do with a blog or a video.
All right. I've heard enough now to know that when we go off air, you and I need to talk about you being a correspondent, because I think we could do some really cool stuff together. But today, we're going to talk about March Madness, because you have some very specific ideas and recommendations.
Yeah.
On this whole idea of, I think you call it embracing the bracket.
Embrace the bracket.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of bracket, did you fill out a bracket?
I did, and it is so destroyed. And yeah. I follow my wife and I are big fans of Mike and Mike. And the skinny one, Greeny, he believes in sheets of integrity, right? He says, fill out one sheet. So I filled out one sheet.
Sheets of integrity. I like that. That's really good.
I filled out one sheet. It's destroyed. I'm horrible. My wife has got like 17 sheets. So she's doing good on some, bad on others. So yes, I have filled mine out.
Okay, so I've got something in front of me. And it says, if you research your bracket, okay, if you research it, to get a perfect bracket, your odds, 1 in 128 billion.
Oh, my.
1 in 128 billion, if you research it.
Ay, ay, ay.
So, yeah, my bracket's also blown up. But I love March Madness. I love it not only for the excitement that it brings, but I love it for the opportunity for employers. Because it's just such a great opportunity to create excitement in the workplace, bring people around. And even people are... another nice thing about it is you can be a knowledgeable follower of college basketball, or you could be a novice that picks teams based on color, and you've got just as good a chance.
That's closer to me.
And I love that. So it's such a ripe opportunity. And on top of that, with employers today and workplaces today, everyone's so stressed. Everyone's got so much going on, and there isn't a lot of fun or opportunity to really do fun things together. So you've got this game already teed up for employers. All you got to do is hook on to, and it's right there. So I love it for so many reasons.
So how would you set it up? Would you set it up where teams build a bracket, or would you have individuals do their own bracket? And would you maybe offer some sort of grand prize? Or I guess the options are limitless, right?
Yeah. As you're talking, my answer wants to just be yes. All that. So here's actually what I prescribe and what I've been prescribing to employers.
Okay.
And it's not too late, by the way. Even though
we're in
underway,
the thick of it, right?
Yeah. It's you can hit the reset button and start a new set of brackets. It's going to kind of give everybody a fresh chance. But what I love is allow people to fill out individual brackets, but the reward should be for the whoever's department wins, they get some kind of catered lunch. So Moe's, Zoe's, Chick-fil-A, you name your kind of food place. But the individual gets a chance to root for herself or himself, but the winner is the team. So even if I get knocked out, I'm cheering you on because I'm hungry. And I'm like, come on, let's go. I would love some lunch. And it's a great way to bring people together as a team, but also allow individuals to take pride in their own thing. So you get a little bit of both.
So, yeah, I mean, you could do it right now. You mentioned you could hit reset. I'm thinking even for the Business Radio X team here, for all of our studio partners and all the people that help us put these broadcasts together, we could do March Madness Mulligan. Right?
Oh, I like the ring of that.
You like that? What is that? What is that called? It's not alliteration, right?
That's nice.
You can keep that if you like.
I like that.
But we can set that
Mulligan.
Right?
That's a good little.
Set it right now. Right?
Merch Madness Mulligan.
Well, there you go. That's free.
Say it three times fast.
That's on me. All right. So you've talked about it. You think it's a great idea. Have you implemented, or do you have an example with someone that's taken a shot at this?
Yeah, I've seen several different organizations and teams do this. And it's just great. It's just fun. It's a great way to lighten the mood. And frankly, what disappoints me is I don't see every organization doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And their rationale for why you shouldn't do this is so faulty and wrong that it turns my stomach.
So what is your favorite part about the work that you do? Is it coming up with innovative ideas like this? Is it what's the most fun for you?
I'm very passionate about what I do, and it came from my first job out of college. And I won't go into that story right now, but I'll tell you, I had a really horrible boss. And during that experience, I realized a couple things. And one of the things I realized was work should be a source of fulfillment and purpose and rewards for all of us. Work should not have to suck. Simply put, should not have to suck.
Well, there's your next book, right?
Yeah, work should not have to suck. It shouldn't. And so any opportunity that we have to make work what it's supposed to be is really exciting to me. And even the idea of retirement, while we talk about retirement, that's a pretty modern concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a novel concept. That's not through human history. People didn't retire. And there's a whole line of thinking that work is a meaningful, purposeful thing. So to go a side note to this, there's a study called the Blue Zones Project where they study where in the world are the greatest concentration of centenarians. So 100-year-old people walking around. And they found it. They found pockets in Okinawa, Japan, Nicaria, Greece, Nicoya, Costa Rica, town of Northern California, little pockets. And then they asked, well, why? And beyond the usual suspects of good diet and exercise and community, they found that every person there had a purpose. They had a reason they got up every day.
Yeah.
And work is it can be a form of purpose for us. So I do this to help people really unlock that opportunity to find purpose and meaning in work and not have it be so messy. And so any opportunity that I can to clear out the messiness and make it be what's supposed to be gets me fired up every day.
Well, it has to be incredibly rewarding work. I mean, I can see it because you're in the studio, and I know our listeners can just hear the pure joy that you experience just talking about it, much less when you're in the thick of it and doing it. Now, you skated by a backstory, but it's my show, so we're going to dive in there. So, yeah, how does one land in a spot like this? You have you're a business professor. You're doing all of this blogging and podcasting. You're out as a practitioner serving organizations. Yeah, what's the backstory? Tell us a little bit about that career path, because I bet it's not a straight line.
No, it wasn't really a straight line. It was sort of, but it wasn't in the beginning. I'm the youngest of three boys. I had two older brothers who were both adopted. So I always tell people, having two older brothers they were a lot older than me, 12 and 11 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
So I always tell people that I know what the inside of a dryer looks like. That's what older brothers do to little brothers. We kind of bounced around. My dad worked for Mead Paper Company. So we went from paper mill town to paper mill town, eventually settled down in Atlanta. And as I was growing up, my oldest brother, Chris, was in and out of jail, had a lot of issues with drugs. So in and out of rehab centers or jail. And when he was at home, it was really dysfunctional. It just wasn't really good. And so when I was 10, he took his own life. He just said, he'd had enough of life and he kind of checked out. And then about 6 months after that, I came down with an uncontrollable stutter. So I couldn't speak in public. And this was going into middle school. So every day before middle school, I'd go see a speech therapist and I'd work on my B's and work on my T's and work on my P's. And then I'd go on to school. I would not recommend having a stutter in middle school. It's not the best time.
Ouch.
So between the way kids with stutters get treated and my brother and all that, I made kind of a conscious choice that people were way too messy, way too dysfunctional. I didn't want to have anything to do with them. Basically made myself kind of a world-class wallflower, kind of distanced myself from people. And that went all the way on through middle school and high school. And then went off to college. And ironically, I majored in communications. Not quite sure how that happened.
Unbelievable, yeah.
And ended up going on to, and like any good communications major, I couldn't find a job after graduation. So I took a job with a small chain of retail stores. It was family owned and privately held. And that's really where the spark of my story began, really where the purpose started.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss was the son-in-law of the business. So the woman who started the business, her daughter married this guy. So he's my boss. So he greets me at the first day of work at the door and he says, I'm so glad to have you here. You're going to be the assistant manager of the store. But before you get started, I've got a task for you. I want you to go in the back room. And waiting for you in the back room is the current assistant manager of the store. But he doesn't know you're coming. So your job is to go fire him and you get his job. And that was how my boss rolled. So he'd come in, he'd say, yeah, Susan up front, I don't like what she's wearing. Go fire her. And I did more layoffs in the first 6 months of that job than any other time in my career. That experience really kind of woke me up, made me realize three important things. One, as we've talked about, work should not have to suck. We can't always choose our families, but we can choose our workplaces. We have a lot more control over that. Two, the world needs better managers and leaders. And three, that was really where my purpose was born. So I said, all right, if I really want to do this, how do I want to do this? So I created kind of an initial 10-year plan for myself. I went back to get a clinical therapy degree and worked inpatient in a place called Ridgeview Institute here in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and worked kind of dealing with a chemical dependency, mental illness, individual therapy work, kind of group therapy work. Left there, went into the corporate world for a while, and then said, okay, now time to get my business language skills under my belt.
You can't hold a job, Brandon.
I can't. That's right. That's why I'm a workplace therapist. What do they say about therapists? They're actually trying to help themselves.
Right.
So then I went back and got an MBA and had an offer to go join a large, big consulting firm in their human capital practice.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when I got that offer, I was standing in Northside Hospital. And my wife had just given birth to our second child, whose name is Noah, and our basement flooded the day he was born. Which I think is great for the story. and I made that decision that I didn't want to leave a young family and hit the road and mm-hmm. hung my shingle and the rest is
yeah, you'd have got your stutter back if you'd have done that probably.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Yeah, exactly. And right? People ask me, well, how did you overcome your stutter? I really don't know when that went away. It just kind of did. I think somewhere in that period of quiet where I distanced myself from people, it just kind of, I still think about it in the back of my mind. But yeah, so that's really been the story. And then since then, I've gotten to do some amazing things, opportunity to teach at Emory and work with some amazing people and bounce around the world to try and make it just a little less messy.
Well, what's so great about that is people like me, our listeners, people who you come into contact with every day, we all get to benefit from the trials, the scar tissue, and the triumphs that you had that make you what you are and that you bring that character, that presence, and all of that to your work. And so we all get to profit from it. I mean, I think that's pretty neat the way the universe works like that.
I hope so. Either that or get entertained. One or the other.
That's the minimum guarantee, right?
That's
you get
right.
Some entertainment. So I said a little bit tongue-in-cheek earlier in the conversation. I mentioned that's the next title of the title of your next book. Do you have a book? Do you plan to write a book?
I have a couple ebooks out there on just helping people find workplace happiness.
Right.
But that's one of the last feathers in my cap I don't have. I would love to have just a regular hard copy book. But the issue for me, frankly, is really two. One, every time I get an idea and I think I got it, then I come up with another idea. And so staying focused has been a challenge. But the other is time. I am so busy with all the stuff that I love. It's hard to find the time. So maybe going back to your comment earlier, maybe I need to do a little better job of carving out and protecting more time on my calendars.
No, I think you're doing fantastic. I do have an idea for you, though. You might think about talking your book to it, like for a first draft.
Yeah.
You might set up a conversation like this on the phone in the studio with someone you trust, maybe share a few prompts or talking points with them, and then have somebody like me or somebody and just ask you some questions, prompt you, and just let you sort of talk out. At least maybe chapter one or chapter two, it might be a way, and then get the transcript, and it's might be a way to approach it.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Hey, that's two.
Do you have that many? I mean, this is great.
I got a million.
So many nuggets. Like, this is good.
You guys thought Brandon was going to be the star of this episode. No, it's an idea. And actually,
I love that idea.
Actually, Lee and I are working on maybe formalizing that into a as a service under a suite of services.
For, nice.
I mean, we're Earned Media, right? So we never charge people to be on the show. That line has to be very clear for us. And we're thinking that we can have this suite of services that really help guests fully leverage their appearance on our network or on anybody else's media outlet. So we're kind of noodling on that. And then we got to thinking about authors and first-time authors and maybe this first draft kind of idea. So, yeah, man.
That's a good idea. I like it. You've got some legs.
Well, thanks. Before we wrap, I want to make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you, have a conversation with you or someone on your team. What is the best way for them to connect? A LinkedIn, email, phone, whatever is appropriate.
Gosh, so many of those things are so... I mean, I'm an easy guy to find, and I got so many emails. So I'd say... So one easy option is if you just Google the workplace therapist, you're going to find me. So that's an easy spot. My firm where I do work out of is the Worksmiths. And of course, I teach at Emory. So if you happen to be at Emory in any of the MBA programs, you can't graduate with an MBA without being forced to spend time with me.
That's good.
So
enough.
Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. Every program has to run through me. And that's a rare thing. Most faculty are kind of nestled in one particular program or another.
Mm-hmm.
They spread me out across lots of programs.
And I'm sure that's no accident. I think I would too if I were whoever makes those decisions.
So an easy email, if they want an email, is Brandon, Brandon. @theworkplacetherapist.com. Brandon@theworkplacetherapist.com. And of course, LinkedIn, find me there. Twitter, I'm @theWPtherapist. And we could go on and on, but that's probably a good stopping place.
All right. Well, Brandon, it has been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio today. We got to do some more of this. In fact, I'm going to ask that we talk about it a little bit when we go off air. This has been invigorating, informative. Man, what a fantastic way to spend a Tuesday afternoon, huh?
I love it. Thanks. And just to kind of sum up one of the big points of our conversation, employers, do a bracket. I mean, it's not too late. Get your folks involved. Great opportunity and have fun. It's all laid out there for you.
All right. You heard it from Brandon. Do the bracket. Absolutely. All right. This is Stone Payton for Brandon Smith and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.